Well, hello and welcome to this latest episode of the Forever Bristol City podcast. Joining me is Ian, Mark and Les, and a fair few people tuned in to listen live early doors. Look, chaps, the thing is, nobody's got a 100% record in this division after two games. I can't ever remember that happening. And we're only 3 points off the top. Les, let me come to you first, as you haven't been on a podcast for a few weeks now, or since the tail end of last season. Are we wrong being depressed at this early stage of the season with a first league defeat coming on the back of a cup exit? Les?
I think a lot of it comes down to that Blackpool result. You know what I mean? If it's the other way around and we equalise in the last minute, people wouldn't be so down. But you know, if you look at last season, I think we've improved this season so far. Yes, the football isn't particularly enjoyable to watch. Yes, we haven't won out of the two games we've played, but I think we're better. We've shown more promise than we did, really, since Christmas. And, you know, there are a lot of average teams in this league. I think we're 17th with 1 point, which shows there's a lot of teams below us who are probably just as average as we are. And I think that's where we're at. There are still lots of questions that need to be answered. But I don't think it's necessarily as bad as everyone's making it out to be.
Okay. Mark, briefly from you, are the doomsayers, there's loads of them, Pearson must go and all the rest of it. I mean, for goodness sake. But quickly, Mark, from you, you know, is it wrong to be disappointed or worried, I should say, after two games and a cup exit?
I mean, City just cannot defend crosses from the box, can't stop crosses coming in. When they do, they can't defend them. Second ball, there's no courage challenging players. I mean, the Crooks goal this afternoon was pathetic. It was almost as bad as the one that the Forest Green player scored. Just no challenge on the player at all. It was disgraceful. We're playing a formation with players like Palmer. We're playing left side of a three. Just completely out of position. Wells isn't starting. We got one man up front. We just seem to be prepared to fail with that shape. It hasn't really worked at City. It worked at Watford. He had better players, and at the moment,
it's really, not working.
If we come up against a good side, we'll get torn apart, I think, if we carry on.
Well, that's it. I mean, Ian, we haven't. I mean, the two sides we come up against aren't all that. I mean, Blackpool lost at home to Cardiff today, and Middlesbrough, you know, they weren't great. I mean, is it, you know, are we just going to have to accept that it's going to be dire all season, or are any alarm bells ringing in your mind at the moment?
Yeah, they are, and it's not the results, it's the performances. Today, we had 62% possession, and that's different from last season. But if you got points for passing the ball sideways or backwards, we'd be top of the Premier League. That doesn't, you know, it's boring to watch. Okay, if you do that and you dominate possession in the other side's half and you play through them and you score some goals, fantastic, but we don't. And we've played three games now. We've had, I think, I'll just take the league games. We've had four shots on target. I mean, they had 38% of the ball today. They had seven shots on target and they had more shots in total.
Yeah, well, 12-7 against our 10-2, which the manager said that even the 10 were not real positive chances, but we're not finding
they were, but the problem with it is that we're playing a formation that doesn't suit the players that we've got. And if you can tell me that our squad is good enough to leave Thomas Kalas and Naki Wells out of the first 11, I'm telling you, you don't know anything about football. I'm ever so sorry. If people don't like it, hard luck. We're not good enough to leave them out. Now, you can play whatever formation you want. You can play 4-2-3-1, 4-5-1, call it what you will. Play anything you like if you've got the players to play it. But you're not. We haven't got the players to play that formation, even when O'Dowd is fit, even when Joe Williams is fit. So go to 3-5-2 against Reading. We might not beat them, but at least we're going to look like getting some efforts on target and getting some balls and some players in the box.
Yeah, yeah. Les, what did you think of the starting lineup today? I mean, it was pretty predictable. I mean, if Callum had been fit, I'm sure he would have been in. But Ian's just alluded to the fact that you should always play your best players. Now, certainly I say Callas is one of your best players, and for the money spent, you'd argue that Naki Wells. But would you have expected him to change the side at all, Les?
No, it was very much what I expected, to be honest. And it's all well and good saying we need to play the players, you know, and find a formation to fit in our best players. But I don't think there is a single formation that suits us because we're so imbalanced across the whole squad. The only formation that I think we could play with the players we have is 4-4-2. But the problem is, you've then got two centre midfielders who are going to get overrun by the majority of teams who play with three in the middle. I don't think we can play 3-5-2 because I don't think we've got any wing-backs. And I think we'll just end up getting pinned back because they don't get forward enough. So the problem Pearson has is he's still trying to find the best formation with the players he's got. And I don't think there is a stable formation because we just haven't got the players. And Pearson needs to take some responsibility for that because one of the positions we needed to strengthen over the summer more than any was right back. And he's brought in a player who's clearly, based on what people have said about Forest Green and what we saw last season, whose legs have gone in Simpson. Yeah. A complete waste of a wage, a complete waste of a position, which means we've got a centre-back out there, a centre-back who hasn't been good enough for the last 3 or 4 years. So we need, unfortunately, talking about Callas and Wells or Nag, we need to get rid of some of them. Because if you get rid of Callas for 6 million, 5 million, whatever it is, you can bring in 2-3 players then. So until that time comes, I think we're going to look very disjointed. Very disjointed.
That's good. No, you make a good point there, Mark. I mean, Les has just said about we'd be weak in midfield with a three, or you know, with the two that we've got. But we're playing James and King in the middle, and I have to say, Alex Scott, if you're having, you know, I didn't see the game in full today, but you know, what is the best formation, Mark, in your view?
I just don't think we know. I mean, ideally, I like to see us play a 3-5-2, but we, like Les was saying, we signed Danny Simpson, so we've allowed him a wage, and Viner, he just doesn't seem to be able to. He's not a centre back. You know, he failed at centre back last season, got found out against players like Joao of Reading and other players who got to turn him easily, and at right back he looks like he's suffering it as well. Doesn't really do much going forward. So we've got two decent players sitting in front of a defence who seem to be taken out of the game because teams are just targeting us down the flanks. We've got a small left back who's decent going forward but hasn't scored any goals for us in 3 years and has got terrible injury problems. And a right back that's playing there out of necessity. We just don't know. We just can't. I mean, simply, we cannot defend. Even when we got ourselves back into the game today, we looked purposeful going forward, but we always knew that if they slung a few crosses into the box, they're likely they were going to get a good chance, and they did.
Well, they did. Well, and we're lucky. I think they only have one corner along with us, if I read it correctly. I mean, Ian, come to you for the first goal. Everybody's talked about Zach Viner being targeted and following it on Twitter and various other places. You know, they put a lot of pressure under him. I think it was Jones. And that first goal, okay, Alex Scott lost the ball in possession, but Jones went on and on and on. Viner sort of seemed to be standing off him. I thought I saw James ambling back. You know, Viner, he ain't a fullback. He ain't a central defender when we've got three better players ahead of him anyway, yeah? And he ain't a midfielder because we've got a whole tribe of midfield players. I mean, you know, look at that first goal, though. That was poor, wasn't it, Ian? And add to that your views on Viner, if he has a best position.
Viner was left 2v1 because Scott lost the ball and didn't track back, or he didn't track back quick enough. And that's what you're going to get when you've got the players that we've got in the team. I mean, I think at the moment, in terms of Zach Viner, I think Zach Viner is a right back stroke right centre back. But as you say, there are better players available. I wasn't surprised when we signed Simpson, but I don't think we should have signed him. We should have gone out and done better. In terms of Les's point about if you go out and sell Calas, yeah, but who's going to buy him? Someone has got to want to buy him. And if we sell Calas, we need to bring in another centre back, or unless you think Robbie Cundy's good enough or Taylor Moore's good enough. And then if you're going to play a three, we can play a three. We're just not very, I agree, we're not hugely strong in the wing back position. Jay De Silva has scored. He scored up at Huddersfield, didn't he, last year when we won 2-1?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. He did score one goal. Apologies.
Yeah, so someone's going to want the players. All right, saying, you hear these players. Oh, Taylor Moore is going to Oxford, is he? Oh, right, okay. And then you speak to their manager and he says, well, I don't know anything about it. And yeah. Oxford fans falling about at the fact that they say, you honestly think we're going to pay £500,000 for anybody? No way. Yeah, not with our
because they got no money.
So I tend to listen to them. All right, I know we paid him 1.6 for Atkinson, who looks a decent defender. He brought the ball out well a couple of times today. But we are so toothless and lackluster. We've got a midfield that can't defend and can't attack. So what does it do? And we had no power and pace up front.
Well, we know that. We know that with Martin up front, you aren't going to get the pace, are you?
The only way you're going to do something about it is to go out and get players. Now, Lansdowne said quite clearly, or Pearson said, I've got to sell before I can buy. So it's up to him to manage that, or Richard Gould, or whoever else gets involved in it. But
I don't think Richard Gould is an administrator in the purpose of this, because he wouldn't know. He probably knows less about what is a good player than we do, and he's a totally different kettle of fish to departed Mark Ashton. So great to see Ipswich struggling. Yeah, but Richard Gould is an administrator, right?
Yeah, so someone has got to say, right, I need a right back, I need a centre forward, and I need a winger. Okay, so you say I want those three players, right? What are they going to cost? Well, they're going to cost us £4 million, and I can go out and I can get them next week, but I need the money. So you've got two choices. Lance Dannard says, right, go and get them, but before the window or by Christmas, you have to shift somebody out the door for £5 million.
Yeah.
Right, or shift two players out the door for £5 million. So there's two ways you do it, because you know that. But I think it'll probably need to be done now, because when do the next set of accounts?
The accounts to the end of May come out any time now. They should do, really. Yeah, and they are going to show that £35 million loss. But I mean, Ian, you said about £5 million for Calas. Les, I mean.
No, hang on, Dave, I didn't say about £5 million for Calas.
He said if somebody offered
five.
I didn't say Calas. I said if someone's going to want to buy the player. So if we're imagining Pearson wants three players, right? A right back, a winger, and a big striker, right? And then they said, well, okay, you want these three players, Nigel. What are they going to cost? And he says, well, they're going to cost us £5 million. Steve Lansdowne's going to say to him, right, okay, who are you selling to raise the £5 million? Who is it? And he's got to be able to tell. Now, if he says, well, we haven't got any offers in, or we can't sell anybody, then what he's basically saying is, well, then you can't have those players. Because the accounts this year won't count towards fair play without this coming year. In other words, 21-22 being included, because that's one of the things the EFL have decided to do so that people aren't punished because of COVID. But it's not just us. There's very few clubs.
No, everybody's
spending money. So we've got a choice. The big problem is we've got, as someone's alluded to, we've got a rake of midfield players and they're all pretty samey and pretty average.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. That's the truth.
Yeah, no, I think you know, that's 100% right that we've got that depth there. I mean, Les, are you surprised? You know, it's still about 2.5 weeks to go, 3 weeks in the window. Are you surprised nobody's come in maybe for Bentley or Callas or even Nash for that matter? We don't, and if Ben White goes for 51 million to Arsenal, then a fair price for Callas is, you know, 10 million, maybe even more. Are you surprised nobody's come in for any of our players yet? Is that the only saleable assets, those three?
I don't think Dan Bentley is as good a goalkeeper as everyone seems to make him out to be. I think he's a good Championship goalkeeper. I don't think he's a Premier League goalkeeper. As for Callas, yeah, I mean, White's gone for 50 million. If someone came in with Callas for 4 or 5 million, I'd snap their hands off straight away simply because of the situation we're in. And then you also got to think of the wages, you know what I mean? He's on, what, 20K minimum, maybe slightly more. That's what I've heard. So I think we need to be realistic. I don't think teams will come in for Callas at anything close to 10 million in the current climate, unless maybe a team in Europe outside the English football system comes in for him.
I can't see that because they're. I think a lot of them, unless they sold a player like Inter Milan, they're worse off than the clubs are over here.
We're kind of stuck in that situation that we've got a handful of players on big wages who ain't playing. And what we need to understand is if Callas goes, that is 3 or 4 players we can bring in. You know, if Nadj goes
into today's market,
Yeah. And if Nadj goes, that's 2 players we can get in.
Or even if he goes and we get rid of him for a smallish fee, it frees up his wages and he's probably one of the high earners. Yeah.
15K, you know. The one I would keep is Wells because I think Wells is a good Championship striker. I don't think we're going to get better than Wells in the current climate. But the likes of Callas.
And we're certainly not going to get the £5 million back we paid for him. That's a dead cert. No.
Thirty years old. Yeah. So, I think Callas is a good defender. I think we need to get rid of him to benefit the wider squad. If he goes, we get a centre back, we get a right back, we get a winger, and we potentially get a striker as well because of the wages and because of the transfer fee. So it's a no-brainer. Like the other guys have said, it's all well and good saying it. We need someone to come in for him, and I think Pearson's trying to force that by not picking him, and I don't blame him. But we need players. We need players desperately because otherwise we are going to struggle.
And we've got 2.5 weeks. Let's get back to the game. Mark, we said our marking was shabby at set pieces, but the equalising goal, which came after, came on the hour, James free kick, dinked it in, King's header. There was nobody near him at all, was there?
No, he just walked past a stationary defender and added it in, and I think they've been taking lessons from us in defending, and then City threw caution to the wind, seemed to, you know, throw a lot of players up front, and we looked like we were going to get a second goal, but lo and behold, the same, you know, defending, and I just took a look at the first goal, and Nick Piezu, he just pushes Jay De Silva out of the way. I mean, the ball comes across, and I think it's a second ball because it's deflected across. Because I think Atkinson or somebody gets a ball at the near post.
That's right. No, you're right.
City. I mean, we were chasing the game. We put Wells up front. Put another man on. We were chasing the game.
Janet came on for Scott. Yeah.
And then we looked like, you know, we were in control of the game, and we just cannot manage a game out, can we? When we got a good chance, we just can't manage a game. And there doesn't seem to be any leadership on the pitch at all this season. And like you said, I got to be worried. I disagree with Les that Callas should be starting. He's one of our best players. He should be starting, and Wells should be starting. I don't understand why Wells didn't come on his sub last week. And Alex Scott's playing gamefully, but I mean, I think it's come a bit too soon for him. And he's only 17 years old. You can't expect miracles from a 17-year-old. But we need a right back. We need some more midfielders, another midfielder or two, and definitely a centre forward. But the transfer market is just dead at the moment. The fact that there are no offers for Callas that we know about, not Bentley, I think, is prone to lapses of concentration. That's why nobody's coming for him. But nobody's got any money. I mean, just look at the players that Middlesbrough bought. It Piezu, who's playing for Wickham last season.
Yeah,
but he's just a big, strong, old fashioned.
Well, we were interested in the guy who got the winning goal, Crooks, weren't we? Was he a million quid? Was he a million quid?
Yeah, I read undisclosed. Yeah, he was central midfield for Rotherham.
Ian, he's
a 6 foot tall central midfielder, gets goals.
Yeah. Ian, let me come on to the offensive side of our game today. Joke. look, Chris Martin lacks pace and he's only good for 10 goals. I got to ask the question, Andreas Weimann today, what did he do and what did Palmer do? Because, you know, if you look over the park, you know, there's on paper, there's some good players there, but you'd expect more from a guy who costs us 4.2 million, Palmer, and one who we've thought fit to sign on for another contract in what effectively takes him well into the twilight of his career in the aftermath of an ACL. I don't think either of them did anything today, did they?
Well, Palmer was 3.5, he went 4.2, and I gave him 3 out of 10 in my marking, and I thought that was quite generous. I don't know. I've no idea what he is. I don't know what he does. And if you look at his record in terms of someone is alluded to on the text messages, I don't see what he does. His record is something like 1 in 12, 1 in 13, 1 in 10 across various clubs for scoring goals or his career. So I'm afraid I can't see, and I really can't see how you could have him and Scott in the team. I really don't, because I don't say they're similar, but it can't be doing Scott's confidence any good playing for a poor side.
No.
So you'd be better off letting him have 20 minutes from the bench if we're doing all right to acclimatise him. I mentioned Matt Crooks in the summer and said, we should assign him. He's 6'4", he's a midfield player. He likes to tackle and he scores goals. We haven't got any of them. So
people say that Andy King satisfies that criteria to a point, he did 8 years ago.
Well, he's much older, and I think he's 32, Andy. He does score goals if he gets the opportunity. He got a lot of goals when he was with Leicester. But he's only 6 foot and he's not strong in the tackle. He's okay, but we haven't got a midfield player that can really defend, which is why we finished up playing Zach Viner in there a few times last season. Yeah. So at least he'd run around and tackle a few people. But I don't think we can, you know, we've got to make the best out of what we've got, and being the best means getting Kalas and Wells in that side, and I'm saying a 3-5-2 because that fits. Now there might be a lad who plays right back in the academy who can come in and do a better job, bit of a flying wing back, but at the moment Pearson is telling his fullbacks to sit deeper and it's not working. So push those. If you play with three at the back, your fullbacks can push on a lot. If you look when we went up under Cots, we had Mark Little and Joe Bryan, and a lot of the time when we were attacking, they were far further upfield than Aaron Wilbraham. So it can be done, but you need that bit of, I don't know, you need to have a decent defence, but you need a threat. At the moment, we haven't got a threat. I felt sorry for Chris Martin today because he was isolated.
No service. With no service
and very little support. And I don't know what the bloke's meant to do.
No, let's read out some of the messages because people do contribute a lot during these. PBG, he said 12 million. Ha ha ha, when I said that about Kalas. M. Garland likes the show, which is good. Tomo says, Sello, Dowder, Palmer and Nagy, that's your 5 million. Yeah, but somebody's got to want them, and I think that's questionable whether anybody does. That's the key thing.
That's the point I make. That's the point
PBG
I make.
Again has said, our DNA these. Threshold is high, though. Problem is, they're as soft as word I won't repeat. Who'd want to buy Palmer? Red Robin says, never assists and hardly ever scored. Mr. Garland, getting our money back for Callas would be a result. Yeah, that's about the max we get. Didn't we buy Callas for $8 million? Says Tommy, yes, we did. Around that. Correct on JP. We won't sell for less than we spent on him. What striker are we going to get for that money? I think the problem's more than just strikers, as we've just been saying. Palmer may bring in $1 million. Oh, David has said $2 million. Tomo, you're having a laugh, mate. There we go. That's all the messages done there.
Can I just say about Palmer? I think Palmer's one of the worst signings we've made in the last 15 years. I mean, when you look at his contribution on the pitch, he is an absolute liability. He was at Huddersfield, he did nothing. He was at Blackburn, he did nothing. Went to Swansea from us and done absolutely nothing. He's come back to us and he gives the ball away in dangerous positions. Whoever sanctioned that signing, they didn't know his best position. They didn't know what his best strengths were. It was an awful bit of business. And there is not a single Championship team or a Prem team who will take him off our hands.
Yeah, it's but do you not happen. Do you think, I mean, we don't want to talk about people that have left, but I mean, it's got Mark Ashton's fingers all over it, Palmer, hasn't it, really?
You know, it was an awful, and it is an awful signing. He isn't good enough at this level. I'd pick Alex Scott over him every day of the week. And unfortunately, like you said, it's like the Ipswich scattergun approach that Ashton did done this season. He did it for us last year or the year before, whenever it was we got him. And I think we're paying the price for that now.
Interesting you make that point. I was going to come on and ask you about the offensive side of our game at the moment. I mean, I said when fit, a front three of Wyman for his pace, and because they don't want to drop him. Wyman, Naki Wells in the middle, and then when he's fit, Semenya. Those front three with Scott just behind, because he is the most creative player that we've got. Does that look a good shape to you? So it becomes
no because I don't enough. Think we'll I don't think we'll play the football that will get the best out of Wales when he plays up front by himself. He can play up front by himself. We saw that for QPR, but they played a very particular brand of passing, exciting, counter-attacking football. We do not play that. We haven't played that for years. We haven't got the players to play that. The two biggest threats for us are Chris Martin and Naki Wells. So for me, we need to find, or Pearson needs to find, a way of getting those two players in the same team, and we'll get goals. I have no doubt about that at all. But for me, Martin has to play, because he is that focal point who will win and bring the ball down. If Wells plays up front by himself, what will end up happening is Baker will get the ball, he'll smash it long, and Wells will end up getting beaten every time. But we need that runner in behind. That's why Wells needs to play. Alex Scott has got the ball in this number 10 position, and he's trying to play through balls. Chris Martin isn't going to do that, is he? That's just not his game in any way, shape or form. And then you've got O'Dowd, potentially, and Wyman on the two sides who don't score enough at this level. So that means you need to find a way of getting Wells and Martin on the pitch together. And I know Ian likes 3-5-2. I think the only way we could play 3-5-2 is if we played O'Dowd at wing-back, because he's the only one who can get up and down, and... But that square pegs and round holes.
That's a good point. That's tricky. A good point, though, about O'Dowda, that maybe he's better at that role, because offensively he doesn't offer a great deal. What do you think, Mark? I mean, we seem as though, you know, we're on the same page, yet we've all got a different sort of type of writing implement, haven't we, really? What do you think, Mark?
Well, are we actually recruiting to a plan again? Because, I mean, you go back to Danny Simpson and Zach Viner, are they any better than Jack Hunt? You know, Jack Hunt at the start of last season was supplying good crosses from the right, and we had Martin and Wells playing up front. Martin cushioning the ball down for Wells, you know, for the great goal that it Stoke. Similarly for goals at Forest, and we got off to that roaring start. There's just nothing coming from the sides. But are we actually recruiting to a plan? You know, we recruited for 4-2-3-1. I just don't think we've got a clue. Is the recruitment any better than it was under Holden, Johnson?
I don't know.
I can't
see. Ian, what do you say? Because realistically, it's a flat market like we've never experienced before. But the recruitment, you know, the plan is that Pearson appears to have brought in players that he knows. But is that the basis of a plan, Ian, would you say, or not?
Well, no, it's clearly not. He hasn't got the players. If he wants to play 4-2-3-1, he hasn't got the players to play it. And that's it. So he might as well stop doing that and do something else. If it's 4-4-2, then so be it. If that's the way we get two players up front, but I still don't think that gets your best defenders in the team. I mean, Cam Pring, it's a shame that he's not right-sided, because he'd walk into the side, because he is a real up-and-down good left-back stroke left-wing-back. And unlike Jay De Silva, he's 6'1" tall. So he's not going to get knocked out the way at the back. You can't blame De Silva getting knocked out the way at the back post in the penalty area against Ikpeazu. I mean, he'd knock all of us over. He's huge. And yeah, unfortunately, we haven't got that player. That's why when we play the ball forward, and Les is quite right, when we play hoofball, which we do, when we play we either play it too slow through midfield, by which time we're up against two solid banks of five defending, or we hoof it. And we hoof it forward. Martin's not very big. He's the biggest we've got, but he's not holding the ball up and playing people in, because he doesn't get enough support around him. Chris Martin is 5'10". That's not, the last time I looked for a footballer, that's not huge.
That's not big for a centre forward. And notice that lad at Pizu, and there's another one at Wickham, has gone somewhere, isn't it? I mean, Chris, both of those would offer a more physical presence than, because didn't one go to Luton and Ikpeazu went to Borough, yeah? Both of those would offer a more physical presence than Chris Martin. Ergo, are both of those better purely in a physical presence term, not necessarily footballing ability, than Louis Britton? Because he's got that physicality. No, well, he battered Brentford, didn't he? The little time he was on.
I'd have Britton. I think Britton's the guy that comes in if Martin can't play or gets a knock, because Martin's not the youngest as well. So I don't understand. It seems to me that Conway, Bell, are Pearson. Further up the pecking. Well, Pearson's a winger, isn't he? He's like a wide right midfielder. Hey, I'll tell you what, that's a bloke that could play right wing back. Sam Pearson.
Sam, yeah.
He could play right.
Who's the other young? Yeah. I'll just read a couple of other comments that people have put on here. Reg, RCG, ZLH. Palmer is the only player that can create anything at all. Some nice through balls versus Blackpool Sadler goal versus Forest Green. It would help if he had some movement in front of him, wasn't stuck out on the left. Ali said, I believe, naively probably, City will utilise the loan market before the end of the month, so he, Pearson, can continue with his plan, playing the formation he wants, eventually achieving identity from the team. That's a good point, identity. I don't think that is far from what he wants, but some just aren't the right fit. PBG has said, Hunt not good enough, yet we replaced him with the worse. And you're right, Hunt did get forward a lot, as Mendip City has pointed out. PBG has also said, Palmer is a showboat training pitch footballer, but of no use on a Saturday afternoon. Mendip City says, Pearson has a load of average players to work with, but he needs to pick the best formation to get something from them, which is what Ian and Les have been saying. We haven't had a good right back since Luke Ayling. Even Mark Little, I thought Corey Smith, this is me saying this, I thought Corey Smith did well in a few games that he played there, but he's long gone now, isn't it? Mendip City said, I agree with him totally. I see nothing in De Silva, doesn't lack the physicality, offers no real threat going forward at the moment. And then PBG has said, we miss Patterson for all his inconsistent spells. At least he had the occasional bit of quality. A lot of good comments there. Guys, let's look forward. No, let's not look forward for a moment. The record, Les, now, it's, what is it, 17 games if you include the cup games, 2 wins, 4 draws, 11 defeats. At what point, let's assume that we fail to win this side of the international break, and I hope we do, and we all hope we do, even though we're labelled as miseries, but if we go into the international break, Les, winless, we might get a couple of draws, and without signing any players, you know, it's going to be tough, isn't it, for the autumn up to the next window. Les.
You lost Les.
I've lost Les. Can't hear Les Cars. I'll ask you, Mark. I mean, winless and no new players before the window. There's pressure there, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that would tell you a lot about the state of Bristol City if that was the case. I'm sure we'll go into the loan market. We don't know what's going to happen in the transfer market because people have got, you know, teams have got to buy our players to free up some money. I think the only option then is the loan market. Do we, loan from higher up? And it's going to, that will go to the last couple of days of the window because teams would look to finalise their squads, perhaps teams in Europe, when they've got to finalise their squads for the rest of the season. So we just don't know who we're going to get. But I mean, there's pressure on Nigel Pearson, pressure on all managers, and you know, it was poor 1 point from the first two games. We should have had three last week, but if he was to go, if things went nuclear, who's going to be able to come in and fix it and do a better job with the same players? Exactly the same problem.
Exactly.
So we just got to soldier on.
Yeah, Les, I was just saying before we lost you for a moment ago, I mean, if we do go into the international break winless and without that transfer activity, God, it's going to be a long, long, autumn, winter, up to the next transfer window, isn't it? Yeah?
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, got you now. Yeah,
can you hear me? Yeah, sound. It's going to be very difficult. The question I have is, would the Lansdowne or Steve Lansdowne let us get into that position in the first place? I don't know enough about financial fair play to say whether we literally cannot bring another player in until we get rid. But I find it hard to believe that if we are really struggling the next 3 or 4 weeks, they don't dip their hands in their pockets. Because the one thing they can't afford is for us to go down. Of course, the other argument is there are a lot of other teams in the same boat as us who are worse than us. If you look at the likes of Blackpool, Huddersfield, Derby.
Nottingham Forest are right down there as well with Forest. The saviour, Chris Hughton. He's not exactly
played two,
pulling up trees, yeah.
Played two, lost two. I watched the Derby-Peterborough game earlier and they were both absolutely dreadful. So I don't think it's as bad as people are making it out to be. But I do think that if we don't get any players in, it's going to be a real tough season for us. It is, yeah.
Ian, somebody said here, Steve, he said, personally, I'd try Callas at right back again after Zach's performance today. Now, Callas played at right back for Borough the year they went up and for Fulham when he was there. And I think one of the reasons why he came here, I seem to recall reading, was on the assumption that he played his preferred central defender position. Right, Ian, Callas at right back, why not? So you stick with your 4-4-2, but you get your so-called best player on the pitch.
Well, I would rather that than what we're doing now, but that doesn't mean to say it's right. Can I read you something the City fan put on Twitter about playing one up top? You can only do that if it's a high energy, if the guy up front has got the height, movement, high energy and power to hold the ball up and play people in, and then people have to keep up with him. We haven't got one of those. My suggestion, if we try that, to be honest, is Lewis Britton, because just from a sheer physicality point of view. But for some reason, like I say, he seems down the pecking order. But yeah, I mean, if it's a choice between, if I saw that we were sticking with a back four, but Thomas Callas was playing right back against Reading, I mean, I wouldn't be heartbroken, but I wouldn't think it's the best use of his talent. That's all I would say. I'd rather see us play a three and play Sam Pearson is right wing back, and he has played there before, and he's also played there for the under-23s.
Yeah. Les, do you think the board, and now we're talking the Lansdowne here, do you think we're paying too much respect to FFP? You know, like certain clubs, with the exception of Brentford, seem to ride a coach and horses through all the regulations. And you know, you can be a little bit over on FFP and just sort of going out and maybe making the odd difference, getting the odd player now that nudges us, doesn't go and break the transfer record. But do you think we're in thrall to FFP?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know how it works. If you look at the likes of Blackburn, they haven't been able to make a signing. If you look at the Derby, they can't sign anyone. And what we don't want to do is get ourselves in a position where we are in their shoes or we can't bring anyone in. I don't know how close we are to it. I think a lot of this comes down to the... I think Lansdowne released a statement or did a podcast last week where he basically said the new chief executive, what's his name? Richard Gould. Not the hands-on football man that we had previously, and we think that's going to work better for us. So maybe that's a nod at the fact that the transfer activity we previously done has left us in the shit a bit, because we are now currently got a load of dead wood, which means we can't make those signings that we need. Are we playing too much respect to it? I can't answer that question because I don't know. What I do know is I think they'll do whatever they can to make sure that we are not at threat of relegation.
Yeah.
If that means bringing two or three players in, if not more, and we take that risk, I think they'll do that. And I, like I also said, I don't think things are as bad as people are making it out to be, you know. So
there are other worse sides.
Who knows? We'll
there.
Have to wait and see.
I agree. Mark, I mean, the loan market is there. Bringing in youngsters from Premier League clubs is almost a little bit of a slap in the face to some of our youngsters, but you're not going to get an experienced player coming on loan from a Prem club because Lansdowne won't pay the wages. Do you see us being active in the loan market with you know, getting a young player who is a star of the future?
Yeah, possibly. But I think, again, you're gonna have to hope that the loaning club subsidise some of the wages, because otherwise you can't bring them in. Because some of these players are on 50 grand a week. So, you know, we're not going to sanction those sort of wages, full stop.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to see our younger players start, but they're not really ready for it. You think players at a higher level, even if they are untried players that have been around the first team, it's some of the top clubs or some of the mid-end clubs would on paper be better than what we've got. But I think at the moment it's going to be a transition season. Hopefully there are three worse teams than us. You know, like we said, Derby County seem to be in a complete utter mess.
Yeah.
There's the likes of, you know, a Blackpool and other teams that have struggled, and we've just got to hope we're going to be better than them and have a lot of patience. I really want Nigel Pearson to succeed. But
well, we want City to succeed, really.
Yeah, I want Nigel Pearson and Bristol City to succeed, but I think we're going to have a lot of patience because it might get worse before it gets better until we find a settled side and some identity, and, you know, we play a formation that works, because at the moment it's not working with those players. It's never going to work at all with that formation with those players. And some of that dead wood needs to go. And, you know, don't know why the likes of Casey Palmer are playing at the moment. I think Ian's alluded to this before. The only place he can play, really, is just behind a striker. You know, otherwise, behind that, he loses the ball. We'd all agree
we'd have Scott in that position, despite his age. All right, let's look forward. Ian, Tuesday night. Reading, not done well there for the last couple of seasons, if I recall correctly. They won today against Preston. That's another team who are pointless. I think they could be a surprise team in the sense of being camped out in the bottom six. But he said in his press conference, did Nigel, that some of those players, there's going to be some change. You know, some of our I'm true to my word, I will give players a chance. So your lineup Tuesday, Ian, what you think he will play Tuesday, assuming Callum is fit and Semenyo's not ready yet, but what side do you think he'll play?
I don't think it'll be a world in his... I think he'll go with two up top. I think he's learned that lesson.
He's still there, yeah.
Lost Ian. He's probably back. O'Dowd and Lyman on the wings.
I
think you've got... I think you've got he'll probably go 4-4-2 would be my guess. Possibly, as you say, with Kalas at right back. I can't see him going 3-5-2, or I think he, but although I think he should. But if he does anything, he'll switch to 4-4-2. So it'd be more or less the same team. You might see one of the two central midfield players, King or James, drop out, and somebody like Backinson come in. But if I had to, you know, wager, I'd say he'll probably go 4-4-2. So we get the two strikers up front. I'm just gonna tweet what I do, and I'll send it to you, Dave. So that, you know, there's a difference between what I think Nigel Pearson would do. So I mean, that's what I do, but I just can't see Nigel Pearson doing it, even though he says he's going to give people a chance.
And Reading play a 4-2-3-1, but they got somebody in Lucas Joao, who is a big, strong player who can hold the ball up and bring the free behind into play. What Reading are missing this season is Michael Olise, who was superb from last season. They sold him to Palace, but they seem to be sticking with the same formation.
Yeah. Les, some changes. I mean, Sekou Janna scored a couple. It was only against Forest Green, but that second one looked a good goal the way he curled it in. I mean, would you say, could he start ahead of Callum O'Dowda just to give us something a bit different?
No, definitely not. I don't think this is a time to just throw in youngsters and hope for the best. I think he'll probably... Well, he may stick to 4-2-3-1. He may go to like a 4-4-1-1, where you've got Martin playing deeper, so he has the opportunity to support the midfield, but then that gives the opportunity for Wells to come in, and we can still go quite direct because Martin's there to win and pick up those balls that go long. He needs to find a way of getting Wells and Martin in the team. I think he will play both of them, and I think we'll see Martin playing slightly deeper with O'Dowda on the left, probably Wyman on the right with King and Matty James in the middle. Maybe Kalas will come in at right back, maybe Danny Simpson. I don't think he'll change the two centre backs. I don't think he'll change the left back. Like Ian said, he may rest one of the midfielders. I don't think he'll play Backinson. I don't think he trusts Backinson. He hasn't got any minutes yet this season, which I think says everything you need to know. I think Masengo is more likely to come in, if anything. But I think he may go for a 4-2-3-1. Or a 4-4-1-1 with O'Dowda and Wyman playing maybe slightly deeper to support the midfielders.
Yeah, and Wyman for you always in your starting 11.
Think we've got much choice at the moment. If he's going to play 4-2-3-1, then I think Semenyo's going to need to come in because he's got pace. He gets in behind. He's direct. He's much more of a threat than Wyman is, especially at home.
He's not available until after the international break in September.
Well, then we're stuck with Wyman for now.
Yeah. It's interesting,
The thing is, Dave, people keep saying we need to buy a striker, we need to buy a striker. I don't think we do. I think we need to buy two attacking midfielders out wide. I think that's much more of a pressing issue for us. So that's a weakness. Wyman is a workhorse. He'll score one goal in five, maybe. But he is not someone who is going to be maybe he's where we are, a lower end championship player.
Which is what he's always been the whole time he's been here. You make a good point there. Ian, I'll come back to you, then I'll come back to Mark, because I want to ask him something separate. But Ian, this reluctance to sort of play Wells on his own up front because it's going to mean that Nathan Baker's just going to welly long balls through. But Wyman's in the team because of his pace, and he always said he wants to play in the centre. Could you not have a front two pivot of Wyman and Wells, a bit like in the 70s? You're old enough to remember Steve Earle and Viv Busby, two very small, nippy forwards that used to play for Fulham. And Wyman and Wells with, I don't know, you know, what is that, a workable combination as you see it, or is that a total stupid idea?
Well, we did it with Steve Neville and Glyn Riley, which was quite similar. We never had a big guy up front. We used to play the ball down the channel, but we played with wingers, and we had good wingers. And that's one of the main differences between this team and what we had then. Would I? You could play that, Dave. But we basically, Les is dead right. I mean, if you're going to turn us into Barcelona and say, right, the ball don't go above waist height, we play a quick tick-attacker, we get up the field, we pass the feet, we get it in, we get runners in beyond the strikers, and the strikers running. Yeah, fabulous. I'd love to see it. Absolutely delighted. But we ain't any good. So because we're not good enough to play like that. And that's the problem we got. So before we start saying, right, okay, on top of everything else, lads, what we're going to do now is we're going to play a completely different type of football. I think Atkinson's okay at bringing the ball out. Callas isn't brilliant at bringing the ball out. And neither's Baker. So I think you, and as has been said, our midfield players are quite slow. So I just don't see us being able to do it. I just don't think we're good enough to do that.
Yeah. No, it does. But, you know, and I mean, that winger conundrum, we just don't have somebody that can put the ball in. And one player, I was trying to think of the name, actually, it's come back to me now, sign of old age, how we could do with Nicholas Eliasson. Yeah. Now, was it that when he left us, Ian, was it that he didn't want a sign for us because of the regime? Because if you look at his assist record in the minutes that he was on, his stats, I was having this conversation with Dave Fev, his stats, minutes on the pitch, were pretty phenomenal. That's the sort of player that we could do with now, isn't it? Nicholas Eliasson being used properly.
Well, he wanted to start games of football and we weren't starting him. He had the best record with assists and 5 points for guessing who was the guy right, not right behind him, but who our next highest number of assists was a bloke called Jack Hunt. I liked Eliasson, but you know, he didn't fit in 3-5. It's that thing about fitting in a system again. It's that 3-5-2, which is why they used to bring him on as an impact substitute. And unlike a lot of our impact substitutes, he used to make an impact.
he did. No, you're absolutely right.
So, but I'd love him back if we're going to play 4-4. If we're going to play 4-4-2 or 4-5-1 with two wingers, I'd love him back. You know, you stick him on one wing, but you could play 4-5-1 now with Callum O'Dowda on one wing and Antoine Semenyo on the other, because it's basically 4-3-3 when you're attacking. So, you know, you could do that, but you play three solid midfield players and you dominate possession in the other teams up and you try and create some chances. But one up top, I think with the players at our disposal, I don't see any way we can go one up top and succeed with the squad that we've got, unless I'm missing something.
All right, Mark, you've sat patiently there. I wanted to ask you a question that I don't think Les follows the local press, and Ian probably does, but I'll ask you the question. This jousting that's going on between Gregor and Nigel Pearson, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better, isn't it? What's your view on that? And Gregor, pretty much like we're doing, but he's committing it to print, telling Pearson how to select his team. What do you think on that?
I think he's just doing his job. I mean, he's there. I mean, Gregor's there to write good copy and sell newspapers or have his articles read online. That's what he believes. Fair enough. I don't really read too much into this. Nigel Pearson is pretty obstropolous, this guy. You know, he says what he thinks. He doesn't suffer fools gladly. He won't change. But the local reporter should say what he thinks. He shouldn't just toe the party line. And if he believes that the players are suited to a better formation, say so. Just tell it.
Yeah.
Say what it is. Just be brave, braver than some of the players. But nah, it's a load of rubbish. He's there to do his job. Pearson's there to do his. Not brilliant at the moment.
No, that's true. Okay, guys, I come to you first, Les. Tuesday night at Reading, and the if I go to Reading, we won't be doing a podcast on Tuesday, and then the next game's on a Friday. So, Les, the next two games, Reading away and Swansea at home. Your predicted points outcome from those two?
I think we'll lose to Reading, and I think we'll get a draw against Swansea.
Yep. Okay. Mark, those two games, the next two coming up?
1 point, Swansea. Draw.
Draw. So you're saying the same. Lose at Reading. Yeah. Ian, for you, next two games?
I'm afraid I'm going to have to go for two defeats. If I'll put a caveat on that, if he doesn't make some positive formational and playing style changes, I just don't see where it's going to improve. In other words, where we'll be able to score goals and the other team won't. And that's I'm not being horrible, I'm just being honest. And if anybody can explain to me why it should change and why it will change, I really am all ears. I'd love to hear it, because I'd love to believe that it's going to happen.
Well, we hope something happens. Something's got to change. How long have we been saying that down here, Ashton Gate?
I don't think we played two decent sides yet. I mean, if we play against two good sides, I think we get hammered.
Well, yeah, I don't think Reading are a particularly good side. Swansea on paper are, and then Cardiff. I mean, they've got.
Well, Swansea have lost a few players, haven't they? They lost Gahey's gone, Woodman's gone, Ayew's gone. They brought on the likes of Jamie Patterson. They must be struggling.
True. Guys, thanks for your contribution this evening. Also, the many people that have made text comments on our screen here. Everybody, pretty much, you're probably not listening, Gregor, but very much in support of you, which is good to hear. But I hope, as we all do, that we get maximum points and from the next couple of games, and then go over to Cardiff and beat them, because we're not all miseries on here. We just want the best for City. But we've been saying that for about 3.5 years now.
Yeah, but Dave, nobody wants City to lose. Who's a City fan? I've never heard a City fan say that. But you didn't say to me, what do you want out the next two games? What I'd like is 2 5-0 wins.
No, what do we expect? No, you're right. What do we expect?
Ian's on drugs.
You think with my head and not my heart, and my heart says, "Yeah, I'd love to win."
I know, and that's what
my head says. That's very unlikely, Ian.
They won't.
No,
and to go back to what Derek Lidbury said on Twitter, tell it as we see it. Don't bow to pressure, and we're not bowing to any pressure. We don't care. We've always said I can't
see much pressure, to be perfectly honest. I mean, most of the people I've read about are saying, "Well, actually, you've got a point." One little bit of breaking news from across the divide: Clint Hill has decided to leave Bristol Rovers for personal reasons. Joey Barton has just revealed that. So there you are. It could be worse. We could be them. So there you are.
We could be them. Guys, thanks for your contribution. Thanks to everybody who's listened. And we'll be back very soon. May even be after the Reading game if I don't go. All the best, chaps.
God bless you.
Take care, everybody. And keep smiling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.